This is Cone Meanderer. My name is Jason Nemro, and this is the second rendition of something, so I don't know if it's going to be more polished or if it's going to be worse. It doesn't play well on Internet Archive the old way, so I'm doing this a new way that probably sounds a little different. I don't know if sound quality is all that much better or not, but at least it records and it plays, which is really important. Okay. You know, lately I've been playing around with the idea of standards, and I think they are more important than we give them credit for. And I think it comes from the fact that one of the major occupations of people these days is to say that standards aren't important. And that what's important, you know, people talk about Jesus and they go, oh, but Jesus loves us. And what that basically means is that Jesus will either reduce or eliminate standards just because, well, I'd have to say most Christians think that Jesus is God. So when they talk about the Eternal Father, they kind of talk about Jesus sort of in a weird way. Anyway, And that out of love, Jesus will just won't set a standard of anything, behavior, and stuff like that. You know, when I was thinking about standards, what I think about is the height of the rim of a basketball, I guess you call it a goal. It's always 10 feet tall. It doesn't matter if your kid is 5 years old and never has a prayer of getting a ball up that high. That's still what the standard is. You know, if you take them out to some gravel basketball court on some playground, the rim is going to be at 10 feet. I hope it needs to be, because people need to know what the standard really is. If you think you're really good at basketball, but the goal is like 5 feet or 7 feet or something like that, you're really not any good at basketball, because that's not the standard. And if you're going to be changing the standard, you're not going to be prepared when you're really measured to see where you should be. So, and that's really what I think is salient about the afterlife. The Latter-day Saints view the afterlife as you go to the spirit world, you have to pay for unrepented sins that you've made so that you can be clean to stand before God. You have to understand, God does not stand before somebody who is not paid for their sins. There's a big difference between paying for your sins and repenting. Repenting means you've changed and you no longer are that kind of a person anymore. Being cleansed from your sin is basically so that you don't have garbage on you when you go and appear before God, because God doesn't deal with that. God doesn't tolerate being unclean in his presence. You know, people say, well, then how do wicked people go and be judged? And you go, you need to understand that there's a large difference between being a good person and being a clean person. A clean person is like somebody's taken a hose and hosed you off. You know, you were encrusted with mud and muck and blech. And that all got washed off so that you were clean when you got in front of God, you know, put on clean clothes and stuff like that. Doesn't mean you're a good person at all. It just means that. And I think people conflate that a lot. You know, I'll be honest. I don't think the scriptures make any kind of real clear difference between being clean and being good or repentant or something, you know, that you have become a different sort of a person. clean doesn't make you a different sort of a person. You know, you're just cleaned up. It's like you've taken a shower. You know, it doesn't change you. It just means that you don't smell bad and you're not covered with mud or whatever. So, anyway, and you go on. Judgment really has to do more with what kind of a person that you are and I have made it so that it's what standard you ultimately met. It doesn't matter how many things that you did wrong. Over time, what matters is at the end, did you meet a standard for, I don't know, I don't think it's just behavior, but if you're going for like exaltation, for example, there's a standard for that. You know, like I said, it's like the basketball goal. It's at 10 feet. You have to be able to make baskets off of a rim that's at 10 feet. And that's the standard. It won't be counted as a goal if you make that bass, if you put a ball through a hoop that's only 7 feet high. It's not the standard. It won't count. Some people seem to think that there's some kind of weird virtue to setting lower standards. You know, that's very, I don't know, kind or nice, or you can gradually lift your standards. To be honest, I'm not really a proponent of that. Even if you can't meet a standard, even like, okay, I'll tell you, I was a terrible basketball player, and I couldn't get the ball through the hoop very often at all. I wasn't very well coordinated. I still am not. You know, I just don't challenge it as much. And I didn't make a good basketball player, so I did other things instead, which didn't require as much coordination. We really need to have that standard. Having lowered standards as if it's some kind of weird incremental thing isn't good. You should have the standards, even if you can't meet them right now. They need to be there so you know what to measure yourself against. Because if you set up lower standards and say, well, this is good for now, it really doesn't help you get to where you need to be. Like I said, you aren't going to score if the rim is lower than standard. You know, it just won't count. And it's just like, well, what's the point of that? It's like using those little plastic kitchens that you give to kids that doesn't have any real equipment in it. You might as well just give the kid the real equipment in the real place and let them grow into their use of it so that they'll be good. I don't think there's any studies on giving a kid a fake plastic screwdriver and them being any more competent in being able to use a real screwdriver when the moment arrives that real screwdrivers need to be used. Having messed around with the plastic ones, playing like you're using a screwdriver doesn't really work toward making you a better screwdriver user. I think that may be a bad analogy. Anyway. A lot of people think that Jesus has, or Jesus can allow lower standards. And it's okay. I mean, you can set a standard that you're not interested in exaltation. You only want to get to the terrestrial kingdom because you hear the people are nicer and you don't have to deal with the same jerks that you've always dealt with in life. And that can be your standard, and you can, and that's not a difficult one to hit, can I be honest? You know, it basically just says that I'm not breaking the Ten Commandments and that I'm a decent person. But when push comes to shove, you're not going to be the one that steps up and takes care of stuff. That's more celestial, that's more godly as an exaltation. that you're going to be that kind of person that you're just going to say, okay, this is, you know, something needs doing. I'm going to make sure it gets done. And I struggle with saying this because I've heard other people say interesting things that they're trying to be nice, especially to single women. And my take on it and what I've always told my children is that if you want to meet the standard of exaltation, you need to get married and you need to have children. In so far as it is possible. Now, getting married, is that possible? Yes. You can find a spouse. I've looked at really old photos, especially of people who came across the plains and lived in the prairies and worked a pretty hard life. These people are butt ugly. And everybody says, well, you know, I don't think I can ever get married. And you go, lift yourself up to it. Says, now, you're not going to marry somebody handsome. You're not going to marry somebody accomplished. You're not going to marry somebody amazing. Maybe. This is, and, you know, and if you have your expectations set that high, no wonder you're not going to make it, because you're not going to be doing what needs to be done to gain exaltation, which is the state of, number one, the state of being married, because you're going to be having children into the eternities. Spirit children at that point. I love how anti-Mormons, who are always trying to make everything about Mormonism seem either silly or mean or nasty. There's this one lady talking about, yeah, since those girls are going to be slaves, you know, because they found parenting in this life to be a form of slavery. And they go, oh, you're going to be stuck having babies forever and having to put up with all that while your husband's going off having a good time making worlds. And it's like, number one, you don't know that it works like that. Number two, you got such a sour attitude about this kind of stuff in the first place. No wonder. And you go, it's really easy not to set a standard for that, because that's not what you want in the first place. You know, you'll be single and separate. Everybody is, except for those that gain exaltation. It's nothing to be vied for. It's easy. It's the default. You'll fall to it. You know, it's that simple. Anyway, so when I look at these things today, I really do think about standards and not saying, well, let's just kind of incrementally go. It says, no, go ahead and measure yourself against the standard that you want to go to, and then work toward being good. It's like becoming a decent basketball player on a 10-foot rim. If it's 10 feet off the ground, that's the standard that must be met. You can't just sit here, you know, and say, well, why don't we go with a 5-foot rim, and then once you're pretty good at that, then we'll see 10, because it's a totally different thing. You know, it's like saying, well, you're not going to get married, and you're not going to have kids, and you're not going to go through that travail and how you take care of things. You know, I'm like, it's like getting a little, well, those little polyurethane playhouses and playing house in there. So many people are doing that today. So many different groups. You know, well, I have a family. Look at all this. And you go, no, you don't. I says, that's you playing house. You know, you're living with somebody and it's this and that and this and that. And it's like, no, this is, you're just not approaching that standard. You've set a different standard for yourself that doesn't meet the goal, like, for instance, for exaltation. And I don't know how it all works. I am definitely the kind of guy who says, if you think you're going to get some exemption, if you think that because you have a gimpy leg, that marriage isn't in the cards for you, and you're going, you know what, my basic response is to that, don't count on it. Don't count on the fact that they're going to come back and say, oh, it's fine, it's all right, you were so disadvantaged. There's a different standard for you, and it's like, don't play that game. Don't play that game. Because there's every chance they'll come back and go, no, the standard is the standard, and you'll go, but I always got the impression that it was just the best I can do. And you go, but was it really? Did you really do the best you could do? Come on. That is one of the most bizarre takes on all this stuff, because how can you judge yourself is that's the best I could ever do? And you're going, I doubt that seriously. My whole thing is don't count on it. If somebody tells you that you're okay, don't spend your life believing that. You know, keep pushing, keep trying. Keep going toward that higher standard, so that you can have the thing that you really want. Because that's really what it ends up being. Whatever standard you have set for yourself and that you've been working toward, that's where you're going to end up. And if your standard's kind of low, I'm just going to be I'm a good person. I hear that way too often from too many people. Well, they're just such good people. And you go, so what? Doesn't matter if they're good. What matters is what is the standard that they set for themselves and what are they reaching toward? That's what that is. And that's how you get celestial glory. You know, it's like, well, baptism shouldn't matter because they're good people and good people will get a good reward. And you're going, what? The terrestrial kingdom? It's a perfectly good reward. It's a marvelous reward. It's much better than what you had here. Heck, the telestial glory is going to be much nicer than what you had here. I said, so, you know, let's not make that the standard, because it's not just being a good person. Are you making covenants with God? Are you keeping those covenants? And isn't one of the biggest ones marriage? And family, isn't that the biggest thing that we do? That's the bulk of what goes on in temples, is making this new and everlasting covenant with between you and your spouse and God, and joining your children in with it. That's all I really had to say for this one. A standard. And it's okay. Can you change your standard over time? Sure. Sure. But make that your standard. Strive toward that. You know, once people find the restored gospel and they go, wow, look at what my possibilities are. And then they go, it isn't enough just to know. You know, you have to strive for it. So as soon as you find out about this, the only kind of ignorance you can play is when it just wasn't available to you, and then you find out about it, I don't know, in the spirit world or something. And then then you can say, well, you know what, here's my standard today. And you go, okay, all right. Let's see how you do it with the standard now. I don't know how that works. I really don't. But you should be doing that. Everybody who says, well, you know, I'm just so homely, I'm never going to get married. And you're going, I'm sorry. Like I said, I've seen photos of my progenitors in the past. And I don't know if it was more of a community thing. You would go to church and that was mostly your community. And it was mostly their job to pair up kids together so they can have marriage, you know, and they have their own ways of figuring out who might be compatible with each other.
It says, and those were good times. Because let me tell you, like I said, those people were not, certainly not visually handsome, which seems to be the biggest thing today, is that you really want to marry somebody beautiful. And you go, well, it's, I don't see it. I don't see it happening. Oh, anyway, you know, and you just go, no, says that's not the criteria. I said, and I feel bad for people who grow up in this society where you have to be all handsome and beautiful. Well, doll yourself up a little bit. Try to make yourself look better, and especially to be better, because I think that shines through almost everything else, is what kind of a person you are and whether that's attractive to somebody else. Anyway, so, yeah. Set your standard. Make it happen. Too many people are trying to say, well, I don't want to have to be this moral. I don't want to have to be this, what's the one the girls always come up with? I don't want to be have to be this modest. That's old-fashioned. I don't like that. And there really is a big conversation about modesty right now, apparently. You know, they've changed the styles of the temple garments that those who have been to the temple wear, and they've changed it, and you know, it's everybody used to think it was all about modesty, and maybe it was, I don't know, but this is, are you going to set a standard that helps you get to exaltation, or wherever you want to go, the celestial kingdom on its own, that's not exaltation particularly. Other things. And, you know, I don't have anything else really to say about that. So this is all about groundhogs. No groundhog. Oh, well, I guess you can look at this. Groundhog is a standard. If he sees his shadow, it says this. If he doesn't see his shadow, it's not like that. You can't make some new standard. Well, I guess you can, but it doesn't mean that it's, I'm sorry, it's a stupid analogy. I'm going to let that one go. All right. Well, it's probably time to close this one up. My name is Jason Nimrod. You've been listening to Cohen Meander. Let me leave you with the blessing of my fathers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance towards you and give you peace.